Well, good morning to everyone. It's good to see each one of you. I hope that you've had a profitable last week. We're starting this one out correctly as we're here to worship. You know, I want to give you an idea or thought that if I were given one thing to do, I could wipe out every youngster in this room. Just one thought. You know what it would be? How would you like to not have these beautiful children that are throughout this congregation? It'd be sad, wouldn't it? But the way to wipe out each one of these children is for you to have never met your wife. You think about that. If you had not met the woman that you have met, married, if you had not done that, all of these precious children would not have existed. And for all of us, I could clear the whole room, in fact, by saying, your mom and daddy never met, never became one. This auditorium would be void of people. Why? You exist. I exist. Because one day my mom and dad met and they said, I do. And in saying I do and them coming together sexually, I was born. Needless to say, I appreciate that on their part. I sort of like being around. And I'm glad your mom and dad married as well. Because I've come to appreciate each one of you. Oh, I said that because years ago my daughter, when she was very young, she said, Daddy, what happened? What would have happened if you and Mama hadn't married? She said, what would happen to me? I said, you wouldn't exist. That was hard for her to understand. I don't think we really pay enough attention to just how important people are in our life and what they have helped us become, or in some cases, hindered us from becoming all that we could have been. Have you ever really stopped and realized exactly what it means to have met certain people here upon this earth? Have you ever just stopped and realized that if you hadn't met a certain person, your entire life would have been different? What if you hadn't met that man? What if you hadn't met that woman? What if you hadn't moved to where you live right now? You'd have never known the good neighbors that you have. What about the job that you have currently? You will never have met any of them. We need to understand that our life is filled with meeting people, and when we meet people, they have a tendency of changing us, hopefully for the better, sometimes for the worse, and that's not good. Let me ask you a question. What would life be like if you hadn't met the majority of the people that you've met? But there's something even more important than that, and it's simply this. What would life be without the Lord? Oh, you contemplated and you thought there just for a few moments about not having your children or not having your mate. And the sad thing is there's some people who would say, I wished I hadn't. And that's sad. But it is a horrible thought when you think about it, what life would be without the Lord. We've spoken already today about what happened over in Paris. That's a good indication of what happens to people who have not met the Lord. They have no problem going around killing people, chopping heads off, raping young girls, you name it. because they don't know the Lord. Now, needless to say, there's some people who will acknowledge that he's somebody to some degree, but they've never accepted him. They still murder, they still steal, they still abuse. But just think about what life would be without the Good Shepherd. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Just think what it would be like if we didn't have that one mediator between God and man, that is Jesus. That there wasn't someone that was mediating or going between. Think about what it would be like if there was no King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Think about what it would be like if Christ had not come, Mark 10:45, had not come to give his life a ransom for many. What if I had refused to believe and obey the gospel? Where would I be today? Has your life changed since you came to the Lord? Is there a big difference in who you are? What if I quit following the Lord, the Son of God, and turned to 2 Peter 2:21, turned from his holy commandments? Has our whole life changed when we met the woman or man that we married, or friends that we've had and continue to have? The worst thing the worst thing that could ever have happened to us if I had never learned the Lord. It is of interest, at least from my standpoint, that when I was younger, Mom and Dad, they said that they believed in Jesus, but they didn't make a big deal of it. They very seldom worshiped. And the only reason that they became interested in, quote, the Church of Christ is because my father had some kind of connection there. Throughout my lifetime, or most of it, Jesus was not the topic of discussion. So I'm thankful that I learned who he was, and I've never forgotten. I can't imagine what my life would have been like without him. In fact, I've heard people say, in reference to my clan, my uncles and such like, he'll never amount to anything because I know who his family is. What about you? You ever heard that? He'll never amount to anything. And it may have been true that if I had not learned the Lord, that it may have been that I could have been a lot like some of those people. What would your life be without the Lord? Let me show you some things that I believe that are at least of interest to me. What would life be without the Lord? It would be a life without true meaning. My life would have no meaning. Oh, David, your life would have... Well, Jesus came to we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Jesus gives meaning to my life. And he wants me to have an abundant life. He wants me to be happy. He doesn't want me to be sad. I should never be sad because I'm in Christ. I should be grateful for who he is and what I can have and where it can take me. Aren't we thankful that Jesus did come? He once told his apostles in John 15:5, without me you can do nothing. And since I've chosen to preach for some 50 years without the Lord, I would be nothing. For I would have had nothing to say whatsoever, because everything that I've had to say is based upon who he is, what he has done, what he continues to do, what he's offered me in the end, and that is eternal life itself. I like what Paul said in Philippians 4:13, that he could do all things through Christ who strengtheneth him. In the context, it tells us all that he had gone through, and he said, I can endure all things through Christ. The reason that I can endure, the reason that you can endure the things that happen to you on a daily basis is because of Jesus the Christ. Not because of who you are, but because of who He is. I don't care if it's life or death, sadness, sickness, whatever it might be, depression, you name it. I can endure it, I can get through it because of who He is. For His life has given me true meaning to my life. When I understood that the whole of man, Ecclesiastes 12 and there verse 13, when I understood that the whole of man was to reverence God and to do His will, it made me a better person. It made me understand who He is. I've tried to impress upon myself as well as you that it's not about me. It's never been about me, but it's all about God and who He is. And when I know who God is, and when I know He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, then it gives meaning to my life. I am somebody. You are somebody. You have meaning in your life because of who it is that you attached yourself to. Your children are the result of you and your mate coming together. I am what I am because of my relationship with the Lord. And if He had not lived, life wouldn't have real meaning. I run up on sadness all the time among those of the world. And they cry and say, I don't understand. I don't understand why. Wow, there may not really be an answer in some ways, but in some degrees it's because of the decisions that you've made throughout your life. When I put other things before the Lord, when I put other things before my family, then that's why a lot of things. But Ecclesiastes also talks about time and chance happens to us all. And though I don't overly care for the phrase, it's true. Sometimes it is what it is. And I have to learn to deal with it as Christ would have me to deal with it. Because His life gives my life meaning. Without the Lord, your life would have no true meaning. And you'd be acting like the dogs and such that ISIS is showing us that they are for what they do. There's got to be more to us just being mere brute beast. There's got to be more to us than just wanting things. What would life be without Christ? Life would have no true meaning. It would mean that I would have no pattern or model in which to follow. Every one of us in here, whether we want to recognize it or not, we end up following someone. Many of you are just like your mom and daddy, whether you want to admit it or not. You have many of their traits, many of their attributes, many of their characteristics. Genetically, you picked up a few of their things. All of us have known individuals that were good people. And we mimicked many of their good qualities. There are a lot of fine people that we could imitate and do really well. When you read the Bible, you find that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Even though I may come to love someone and appreciate someone, what I need to understand is that I don't want to follow all that man has done, because sometimes man, even the good, do that which is bad and that which is wrong. I need someone that I can follow, someone that I can imitate, that can give me a standard that is above all other standards, that will keep me on track. A disciple is one who is a follower, a trailer. It is as if we are the caboose and we're following the engine. Jesus is our engine to follow. In 1 Peter chapter 2, and there verse 21, as Peter speaks to the brethren there, he says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul." I'm glad there's one who's concerned about my inner being, my spirit being, and who has left me the perfect example to follow. He himself who is perfect, this imperfect person can follow him and get from here to heaven, get from here to God. I can rely upon his path. All of us heard that story time and time again of the father going out into the snow to get some wood. And as he's making his steps, he hears his small voice in the back saying, "Daddy, be careful, I'm following in your steps." Sort of brings a chill sometimes to my spine when I realize the influence that I have upon my own children, my own grandchildren. David, be careful where you walk. Put your feet where Jesus has planted his feet, and you'll have no problem whatsoever with your children planting their feet. Paul said, "Be imitators of me as I'm also of Christ." Every Christian in this building this morning ought to be able to say with strength, "Follow me because I follow the Lord. I follow that perfect pattern." But if the Lord hadn't come, I wouldn't have the perfect pattern in which to follow. Continuing to that particular thought, that if Jesus had not come, I would have a life that was without the Lord and without direction. Where am I going in my life? What have I done with the 70-something years that I've had on this earth? Where has my life taken me? Where should I be heading in my life now? Everybody's asking, "David, what are you going to do?" I'll let you know as soon as I know. Some people have said, "David, are you retiring?" I said, "No, I'm relocating." They said, "What's the difference in relocating and retiring?" I said, "I don't know yet. I don't ever plan on stopping preaching until my voice no longer can be heard. Where is my life? Where is it today?" Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." One of those great I ams of John. I am the light of the world. He came to bring light. As John 3 points out, verse 18 beginning, he came to bring light, and the world was living in darkness, and they did not want the light. Without the Lord, where would I be? For his word, He provides a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. Psalms 119 and there, verse 105. Jesus has the words of eternal life. John 6 and there, verse, whom shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the way of eternal life. After 5,000 people are thereabout turned away from the Lord, Jesus turned to the apostles and said, will you go also? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You give us direction. You ever seen someone who's been blinded in a new location? It takes them a while to assimilate to the area where they are. I was reading something just the other day about how that someone had lost their eyesight and it was going to take about a year for them to really get used to what was going on, and they would teach them how to get around in their house, eventually getting a seeing eye dog. When we're blinded, we are afraid. But when we have direction, we're not afraid to walk with our heads up. Because you see, as Christians, we have before us Christ Himself. And where He leads me, I will follow. Life without the Lord would be a life without direction. I'm thankful for direction that not only comes from my Lord, I'm grateful to my wife, Cynthia, who's helped me in so many ways. And sometimes I didn't appreciate it, especially when she told me I was wrong. But you know, she was right. Most of us would not be where we are today without the good man and good woman that we have by our sides. What makes them even greater is because they're following the Lord. And as they follow the Lord, then they will not lead us astray. What would life be without the Lord? It would be life without forgiveness and salvation. Lord, how often should I forgive a man? Peter basically asked. 7 times, isn't that sufficient? Jesus said 70 times 7. Is that sufficient? I probably ran way past that a long time ago. The wages of sin is death. I deserve to die for my sins. My sins, as Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 points out, in reference to the children of Israel, it separated them from God. Without the Lord, I would have no forgiveness. I would not be redeemed. Ephesians 1 and 7, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I stand before you as a forgiven man. I stand before you as a man who needs forgiveness often. Hopefully not as often as it used to be. But I'm thankful that I can say, Father, forgive me the sinner. And He will say, if I am truthful, Father, forgive me. And He'll do just that. Jesus is the only Savior. Acts 4 and verse 12, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I hate it when I hear somebody use the term Jesus in a derogatory way and use it as a byword. Using his name in such a destructive way, disrespectful way. Because I have the forgiveness of my sins because he came to the earth. Salvation is mine. How horrible it would be. Can't imagine what it would be like to face life without forgiveness. I'd hate to think that every sin that I have committed since coming to an age to understand what sin was, I'd hate to think that from that point to now, everything was still on my shoulders. That's why I love the passage where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your soul." I find rest for my spirit. I find rest for my soul because of the grace that has been extended to me. But if there is no Lord, then I can have no forgiveness, and I truly am a man most miserable. And I need to learn sometimes to forgive me because God has forgiven me. Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners. I understand what he said, but at the same time, he was a forgiven man. He often went back and thought about what he once did. But I'm grateful that he could also say, "I fought a good fight, I finished the course, I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not for me only, but all those who love his appearing." Life would be miserable if the Lord hadn't come. Because I would be an unforgiven person. And I would not, as the next point would say, I would have no hope. For if the Lord has not come, then I would have no hope. I've had to go in occasionally and tell someone that they were dying. And I could see as soon as I expressed my thoughts to them, I could see the hurt that was in their eyes when they realized that what they had thought was not going to be. I can see it in one man's eyes in particular, a faithful child of God who was dying of cancer. And as I walked in, he was just smiling, and, "I'm going to whip this, I'm going to that." The doctor has said that he had less than 2 weeks in which to live. And it was true, he had less than that. I told him, I said, "Brother, no. Life as you know it is over. You're a child of God. You have hope in Christ. And that'll help you get through this, even though there's no hope for your continuing here upon this earth." In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and there verse 1, Paul states that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope. In hope of eternal life, Titus 1, there verse 2. Christians have been begotten by God to possess hope. This hope is to obtain the inheritance that the Lord has prepared. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. This is the only hope that's really worthy of a man holding on to. There's a lot of things that I've hoped for that did not materialize. But this is a hope that I can sink my teeth into. This is a hope that I can carry with me every day. It is a hope that I can take to my death. It is a hope that will be realized on the other side of eternity. When I hear my master that came to this earth, he along with the God family, as they say, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome home. If I miss that, I miss it all. I'm grateful that you married who you married and you've given us these beautiful children. I'm grateful for their lives and what it means to me and what their lives have before them if they'll keep Christ ever present in their life. But the greatest of all is that my life and your life is what it is as Christians because Christ did live. He did die. He did resurrect. And he's now seated on the right hand of God just waiting to come and get us. Let's go home. Let's go home. Let's go home. There are those in our assembly this morning that are not Christians. You're lost, not because you haven't been baptized. I hear people say that from time to time. That's not the reason you're lost because you haven't been baptized. You're lost because you haven't let Christ really enter into your life and become everything that he needs to become to you. You're lost because you haven't confessed the faith in Christ and obeyed his will and remained faithful. Won't you do that this morning? Won't you let this be the day that you acknowledge that it was great that the Lord came? So that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So that you might have forgiveness of your sins. And have that hope that will take you through. After acknowledging that he is the Christ, we'll immediately immerse you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now life's worth living. Because you found the right direction. You know where you're going. It's sad to say, but sometimes as children of God, we get off track. For whatever reason, we forget that the Lord did come. He did save us. We did have hope. We allow other things to get in our way. Sometimes we call it love because of a person that we attach ourselves to. Sometimes we call it job because you got to, you know, make a living. Sometimes we call it so many things. But what I call it is crucifying Christ afresh. Won't you come back to your senses? Won't you come back to where life has meaning? Won't you come back to hope? Think of that while together we stand and as we sing.